I just, this woman's going to go to hell because I let her eat chicken because I didn't want to run over and stop it. And then I was too scared to tell her when she was already eating it.
Wow.
She said, what?
How could they do something like that?
Are you serious?
What a thirsty MF-er.
Not good. She's absolutely dead to me.
That's because she died.
I'm Sterling Mulberry.
And I'm Blair Payton. And welcome to
Bad Behavior,
a morally questionable podcast.
We're two unqualified friends.
Two unhinged comedians.
Determined once and for all what is good.
And what is bad. Hello and welcome to Bad Behavior. I'm Sterling Mulberry.
And I'm Blair Payton. In each episode of the podcast, a guest shares a morally questionable story from their life, and we decide if they are in the right or the wrong. Now, something that isn't right is the fact that you have Miss Corona inside your system.
Yeah, I do. I'm having COVID part two at the moment. Glorious.
Yeah.
She's still out and about.
Okay.
Where the rumors are true. My sick voices are not giving like sexy, you know, it's kind of giving get to bed.
So back when I used to work at a top 40 radio station in my hometown, I used to do weekends. And like my voice is not deep. It's effeminate. Let's just be honest. And the fact that my name is Blair is not helping. But when I would go out drinking and I would go out hard, the next day my voice had that thick, rich cadence to it. It was gruff and rubbly and it was like, yeah, Virginia's number one hit music station. Oh, it was great.
You leaned in.
I leaned in.
I think the bad behavior of the week is this. Getting the disease, COVID-19, from You'll Never Believe This, an open mic night, prepping for my show.
That sneaky bitch.
That is so mean. I say this. Take me to a party and give me that disease. Take me out dancing and I'll get that disease. The amount I've texted this week saying God is cruel because of this.
Now, do you have any idea as to who it might have been at the open mic that got you infected?
I don't know, but basically what happened is they kind of are like, okay, up next, you kind of get ready. And you shout out to the host. He decided to do a set, actually, right before mine. So then I'm actually up there double time. I'm actually kind of up there for so long just waiting on the side. And I'm thinking those times I was up there for so long because people decided to kind of put more people in between me and my spot.
Uh-huh.
That could have given me the virus.
Well, and also, too, you're awkwardly standing there like an avatar waiting to be played in the game.
And there was just so many guys there, classic. And I had some jokes, you know, classic, the boys don't know about. I was kind of talking a little bit about Bachelor franchise.
Okay.
And I'm like, do you guys know that reference? They're like, no.
Well, what you should do is have backup material where you're like, guys, I finally learned football. And then just explain it all wrong.
Just do football for them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But then I'd have, like, the whole point of me being there is to practice.
But you could meet the love of your life.
And I'd say this, pass. Why the hell are you here? I'm not interested. The love of my life is not in that room. Let me be clear. There's this guy who went up this time and he said, okay, this is my portion where I talk about women. And then he just went off at us.
What was the main takeaway?
He's pissed that basically girls aren't paying attention to him. And he's like, I even walk down the street and I'm not even looking at their boobs. And they're still not even being nice to me, and I'm not even looking.
Okay, but he's got to be doing something to warrant this reaction from a lot of women.
Well,
so
if I showed you a picture, you would say,
got it. I got it. So needless to say, not the love of your life.
Oh, definitely not the love of my life. No, I don't think that there was anyone there this week that was the love of my life.
Well, Sterling, if there's anything that I know, and it's nothing, I think that in 2024... you're going to meet the love of your life at an open mic.
That's so mean.
I don't think it is.
That's cruel.
You'll already have something in common.
Let me tell you this. That doesn't work.
Famous last words.
Because you need to have one person making real money and having a career. And the other person can be a silly goof. You can't have two silly goofs because basically
but
you're never going anywhere.
But how fun would it be to be poor together, right?
No, I'm not interested.
All right. Well, I tried.
Well, Blair, we are in for a really special treat.
Yes.
We have an amazing guest today.
Oh, my gosh, Sterling. Yes. Our guest today is an actor, writer, podcaster. He rose to fame on TikTok with his impressions of the Schitt's Creek cast. He currently is co-hosting the Theater Countdown podcast. Please make welcome Michael Judson Berry. Well, Michael, thank you so much for coming to Bad Behavior. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
I love how everyone's voices just went like, I'm doing so well. Like we're all of a sudden.
I know, well, we're recording now. Before you hit record, it was like, hi.
Well, you know, sometimes when people's voices go up like that, it means they're lying. So were you lying?
I was. I'm a mess.
Oh,
I'm
my
not
God.
Doing well. I lost a toe. I can only count to 19.
Wow, you're really rehearsing hard for that play in Nantucket.
I am, yeah.
Do you like how I brought that in?
Well done.
Thank
yes.
you, thank you. You're currently in Sense and Sensibility.
I am.
I said that's so weird.
Oh my God, you know everything.
Well, you told me.
Well, that's true. But you remembered. Like, usually
I did
when I
remember.
Speak, people don't listen.
Oh, yeah, I did. I don't know what the play is about, though, but I know it takes place a long time ago.
Yes, it's Jane Austen. And it took place quite some time ago.
Yeah.
And we get to wear sort of periody costumes and be British and fall down a lot.
How do you kind of feel like theater audiences are right now? Because I feel like post-pandemic, are we still in it? We'll see.
Yeah.
They kind of, I feel like people forgot how to act in an audience. You know, people are shouting, people are throwing things. Has your audiences been okay? Or is anyone acting cuckoo bananas?
Luckily, because we're in Nantucket and people are very like, it's a prim and proper place.
Of course.
So, I mean, they very, you know, all nautical sweaters and good manners. And so they've been great. But I will say, I agree with you. Theater audiences post-COVID, it's like the Wild West.
Truly.
I have never seen anything like it, except for maybe like at a daycare.
Wait, explain that to me. How are they acting crazy?
Oh, yeah. Like, I've never seen so many phones out in theaters. People just like unashamed, just like filming the show, texting their friends about the show, or just taking phone calls that are like, no, I'm still in. We're going to be late for dinner. And like the crinkle bags are out of control. Like people are having full picnics and meals. Mm. I was at a play recently and I saw a woman sit back and put her feet up on the seat in front of her.
Was this a Broadway show?
She had really cute shoes. Yeah, it was a Broadway show. But like, it was
And someone was in that seat in front of her.
No, but there were people on either side of it. So like, imagine like you're watching a play that you just paid, you know, $7,000 to see, and feet are just next to your face. It was just like, what?
But if you have a foot fetish, what a dream, right?
Oh my God, that's true.
Because if you love musicals and feet, you are in heaven.
That's a good point. I didn't think about that. Maybe she knew something I didn't, and she was just adding to their theatrical experience.
So when that happens to you, like if you're on stage and you start hearing like the hustle and bustle in the audience, are you pretty good about tuning it out?
Oh no, I'm so ADD. I'm that person that's like, what just happened? Did that person just take a phone call? Like, in my brain, I become Patti LuPone.
Okay, you I was know, gonna I ask, really, who was it that, yeah.
Patti straight up snatched someone's phone once.
Yeah.
Honestly, what an honor. Like, if I knew she did that, I would just wave my phone around and see if maybe she'd slap me on top of it.
No, I would be like, while you're up there, can you record my outgoing message?
Yeah.
Real quick.
No, I do feel like it's like out of control. I feel like for my shows, we haven't really had anyone that's like too wild, or like, I think comedy shows also can be a little different because like there is a little bit more audience interaction. But I did go to a show with my friend, or like kind of a friend of a friend. I don't know, close-ish friend, but not so close that I could be like my full personality. And she was being on her phone during the show. Oh. And I literally was like, you can't do that. I didn't know what to do because I was like, I knew the person who was doing the show.
Did you stare? I feel like a good stare helps.
Oh yeah, I love a good side eye.
Well, I worry she was so kind of like in her phone, she couldn't even see my stare.
That's tricky. Because you can like chastise a total stranger or someone you know well. But when it's in between, it is a little bit tricky. Because if you didn't know her, it's so easy to be like, ma'am.
Yeah.
You know, like.
And I was like, maybe she does have something she needs to look at on there. I don't know.
Beat her at her own game. Make a call and just say, yeah, the person next to me is looking at their phone. It's so rude. And maybe they'll hear it.
God, this is...
Fight fire with fire.
There you go.
Now, I wanted to ask you about your podcast, Theater Countdown.
Yes.
First of all, how did that come about?
So in sort of a roundabout thing, so I just started producing, and a friend of mine is a big Broadway producer, and he was looking for a new partner, and we went out to dinner, and he was like, be my new producing partner. And I was like, okay, I don't know how this works, but sure. And our first show that we were on was the show called How to Dance in Ohio that was on Broadway last season, which I was very proud of. It was the first one about autistic kids, and it was played all by autistic actors, so it was very revolutionary. So I met another producer on that show, and he produced that podcast, Theater Countdown. And we were opening night, and I don't know, I was kind of tipsy, and I probably was like, yeah, wagga wagga, like, a quippy joke. Finger guns. And he was like, co-host my podcast. You seem kind of remotely interesting and funny. And they needed a new co-host, so to step in. But it's really fun. We just count down our top 10 Broadway-themed things.
Do you ever worry about running out of, like, lists?
The coming up of lists wasn't so bad. So we'll count down, you know, top 10 performances by a Broadway actor, or top 10 revivals, or top 10 musicals. And it always sounds kind of easy, and then you get into it, and I'm just that big of a theater nerd where I'm like, what are my top 10 musicals? And if this is going to be recorded, like, I'd better make sure I know. And I had like a list of like 60. But the hardest thing was I kept repeating shows at the beginning. So it would be like top 10 musicals. And I was like, oh, number one, Gypsy. And then it's like top 10 songs from musicals, like Rose's Turn from Gypsy. Yeah. And like top 10 roles, Mama from Gypsy. Like it was like trying to get beyond my like four shows that I love. So it kind of forced me to actually learn about other things.
How do you kind of feel like a new title of being a podcaster? Some people, I feel like when I go out in public and people say like, oh, what do you do? And I have to say like, oh, I have a podcast. I'm like, say it under my breath because I'm embarrassed. But do you feel loud and proud that you're a podcaster?
Well, this one was better because this was definitely more of like for funsies. And I was doing a lot of other things. But actually last year I had a podcast that was my first one called The Social Dose. And I got that out of because I did a Food Network show, Worst Cooks in America.
Yeah, because I was going to ask if you were coming back with that podcast, because I remember when you launched it.
No, that one, there was the whole thing at Sony. But that was where I was approached to help co-host this like social media news podcast. And then we did the first season and then somewhat realized that they were like, we really need visuals for this. This doesn't really work as a podcast. But for the time that was on, it paid. And that was like my job.
Yeah.
But it was also when the new Sex and the City reboot was happening. And too many people, when they were like, what do you do? And I was like, well, I host a podcast. And they're like, oh, you're like Shay. And I was like,
ugh. Oh, no.
I was like, don't ruin this for me. And also even like that as a job, like I remember my boyfriend talking about like hanging out with his mom and she was like, so what's Michael doing now? And he was like, he hosts a podcast. And she was like, okay.
Was she like Che Diaz?
I can't tell what's worse, being like, I'm an influencer, quote unquote, or I'm a podcaster. Like either way, none of it's real. It's all just other words for unemployed, but it's fine.
Now, with your Schitt's Creek characters, because you've been doing that forever and totally nailed it.
Thank you.
Have you
Thank
ever
you.
Thought about incorporating another TV show?
I've tried doing other people, and every time I do, people who follow me are like, now, what would Moira say?
So rude.
Like, I've done, like, other impressions. I did one, I did Diane Keaton, and I was actually really proud of it, because Diane Keaton then DM'd me, and she was like, that was spot on.
Oh my god, amazing!
And I was like, holy, I was like, oh my god, Diane Keaton likes my Diane Keaton impression. And she was the only one. Everybody else was like, but what would Moira have said? And I was like, you know, guys.
Even she said it?
No, that was like, good impression. Could you imagine if she was like, great impression? But honestly, you should stick to her.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's that's the funny thing, I think, with social media. It's really hard to, I think, once you have your groove, I think it's very hard to algorithmically to sort of break into another groove. I feel, you know, like you're in the gutter and bowling alley and it's really hard to jump over to the other one.
Well, I remember you said that you heard that Catherine O'Hara had seen your impression and loved it. Have you met her yet?
No. And she does. She talked about me again recently on Kelly Ripa's show.
Oh.
She thinks my name is Justin. And... because my handle is M. Judson Berry, and she's not on. It's just her friends show her my videos, apparently. And she must see the Judson and thinks it's Justin.
Yeah.
And then finally, I was back and forth with her. I wrote to her team, and I was like, if ever she's in New York, I would love to meet her, not expecting a response. And then her agent wrote back, and she was like, yeah, Catherine, it really is a big fan. She says to like keep up all the work you're doing and to keep writing, and she promises to get your name right in the future. And if she can, she'll try and arrange something.
Yeah.
But it took me this long to finally get the nerve to reach out because I never wanted to bother her. So, but hopefully now she won't call me Justin anymore.
What would be the first thing you say to her when you get to meet her?
Thank you. Also, I would say thank you because literally I was going to leave acting. I was done with entertainment. I was going to go study architecture. And then I started making these little videos and they sort of pulled me back into entertainment. So if it wasn't for her, I would not be doing any of what I'm doing. My life would be somewhere completely different.
How long were you away from like that like quitting day or like, I don't know, like how close of time was that?
I had applied to grad school and I was going, and then COVID hit and a big part of the program I was going to do was involve traveling. And I was like, wait, so I have to pay full tuition, but get like, I don't get the travel perks. This doesn't make sense. So I deferred and then just took that year to like make silly TikToks. And then here we are.
Wow.
So yeah, I was done.
Wow, that's amazing. That's a beautiful story. I feel like, oh gosh, I'm blanking on her name, but... the daughter in Schitt's Creek, or Moira's daughter.
And Annie Murphy.
Annie Murphy. I feel like she has
Alexis, like, she was the same thing.
Yeah, she was like, I was about to quit. I had like $20, then I got the role.
Yeah, and Alexis was going to be her last audition. Yeah. She was like, I'm done after this.
Crazy, crazy. I love that. So wow. Crazy.
Yeah, think about all those other actresses who are like, I'm quitting if I don't get this. And then now we have a lot of other people doing other things.
Yeah. We got a lot of the other stories as well.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Okay, so we have a game on this podcast called Heaven or Hell. And this is a game where we are going to present some various scenarios and you are going to decide if that scenario for you is heaven, hell, or purgatory.
Ooh.
Now, from Hairspray to The Outsiders, Broadway has taken many non-musical movies and transformed them for the stage. So you are going to be deciding on the following mythical movie musical adaptations if they are heaven, hell, or purgatory.
Okay, amazing.
So Sterling... want to kick us off?
Madam Web, starring Dakota Johnson, in which most of her lines are 80 yard while she flies around the theater.
Oh, that's absolute hell. That sounds like Spider-Man the Musical Part 2. But like we took a step backwards. Like more people are going to die. Absolute hell.
That's a hell for you. You don't even...
That's a true
hellscape. Because I feel like a lot of people saw that movie and they were like, so bad, it's funny. Like they were like, actually so bad, it's great.
And I love those kind of movies, don't get me wrong. This one didn't quite swing back around to good for me.
Was it just boring? I didn't even see this movie.
Yeah. We literally watched it last week in our house. Like the cast got together and watched it because our set designer designed part of the movie, the set. So we all watched it to like be supportive. And even he agreed. He was like, whoa
there. Did he have any inside tea?
A lot. And he had seen the movie and he was like, you really don't have to do this. And we were like, we want to.
Is there anything you can share?
Just that like no one was happy. Mm. Like everyone on the movie that he interacted with knew they were making a bad movie and couldn't really do anything to stop it. And so just no one was enjoying themselves.
Okay, great. Your next one. Brokeback Mountain as a jukebox musical featuring gay anthems like Born This Way and I'm Coming Out.
Oh, heaven. Heaven. And I want him to sing I'm Coming Out as he comes out of the tent. Mm-hmm. And it's like birds are chirping, sheep are bleating, and he's a refreshed, new, very sore cowboy.
I'm surprised that it hasn't even come to Broadway yet. I feel like that it's so prime for it, I feel.
And there is a play and an opera. It has been adapted to the stage multiple times, just never to Broadway.
A gender-flipped Godfather starring Patti LuPone as Michelle Corleone.
Heaven. Heaven. Though you gotta be careful. That's one where like your phone goes off, she's not gonna snatch it. She's straight up just gonna shoot you.
Now, speaking of gender flip, did you see the Company that she did?
Yes, and I thought Company worked better because they didn't gender flip everybody, obviously, because Patty still played a woman. But I think the show was better the way they had it.
Wait, I think I saw that. I saw that.
It was great.
That's the... it's like the turning... the birthday.
Yeah.
Okay, great. I saw that.
It's the birthday.
I saw that in New York City.
Look at you.
With Miss Patty herself.
Oh, and she was great.
Yeah, she was great.
You know, just yelling at the audience to rise. And we did. And, you know, it was she was happy. We were happy. It was a great night.
Okay. Next one. Oppenheimer. an explosive new musical featuring old and original music by The Runaways, such as Cherry Bomb, and a new single, We Still Have Two More Hours to Go.
Oh my God. For me, that's actually going to be heaven. I think this sounds great. I'm a huge history nerd. There is a play called about Oppenheimer that came out in London when I was over there, and it was like a 3-hour play, and I loved every second of it. So if you drop some tunes in there, I already know I'm going to be happy, although I will be one of 6 people in that audience.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I wouldn't invest in it, but I would go see it.
How long is too long for a play, would you say?
It really depends, because I've been in 4-hour plays that felt like they went by in a blink. And then I've been in 70-minute plays that felt like eons. So I think it really depends on the show itself.
What was the 4-hour play?
It was that 2-parter. And I can't remember the name of it now. I'm blinking. It was the big
Harry Potter?
No, not Harry Potter. That one did feel long. I enjoyed Harry Potter. Don't. People are going to get mad at me for that one. It was great. The spectacle was amazing. What was it called? It was part one, part two, and it was about a group of young gay men who love the book Morris.
Wait, was it? Did it have? I hate to be like this. Sheldon.
No, not that one. Anyway, it'll come to me the minute we stop.
You said that was such disdain.
But that was a 2 intermission play, and I really enjoyed it. And I saw a Greek tragedy that was 8 hours long. It had a dinner break. And that was also amazing. I loved every second.
You want to talk about a long play? Arsenic and Old Lace.
Good one.
In theory, this one was long and everyone talked incredibly quiet and there was 2 intermissions.
What?
Mm-hmm.
I've been in that play. There should be only one. This sounds like a very masturbatory director.
The only saving grace was there's a brewery next door, so I picked up like a 4-pack to go.
I had a theater teacher who was like, it's actually good to go to a play if you're not in the front row. He was like, fall asleep. There are some plays you should be falling asleep and waking back up, and it's part of the play.
I had a drama teacher that would leave at intermission.
Oh, really?
She was famous for it. And she'd be like, they didn't earn my time.
Mm.
If you didn't earn her time, she just bounced. And she taught a lot of big people. Like, she taught Benedict Cumberbatch as one of her students. And I remember he did Hamlet when I was at school with her. And she went and saw it. And she stayed through the whole show. And she saw him after. And he was thrilled. He was half expecting her, apparently, to have left.
Oh, wow.
And she showed up at the stage door. And he was like, oh, you stayed? And she was like, yes.
That's amazing.
And she was like, for the first time in his career, I was able to look at Ben and say, well done.
The next one. Mean Guys. From Mean Girls the movie to Mean Girls the musical to Mean Girls the musical movie comes Mean Guys. A new perspective from the guys of Mean Girls. We're talking kind of Aaron Samuels, Glenn Coco, kind of the side guys of Mean Girls.
I think we're good. This kind of sounds like hell to me. I think we're good. I'm good on the Mean Girls. I feel like every time we get another iteration, it kind of takes a step back.
Would it make a difference if instead it wasn't Mean Guys? But I don't know if you guys are familiar, but there is a direct-to-DVD movie called Mean Girls 2.
No.
Now, would that be better as a musical?
Yes. Oh, yes. And make it just ultra camp. Like, fully aware of what it is. And is it actually a sequel?
The only connection
uh-huh.
is the guy who plays the principal. What's his name?
Oh, yeah, that guy.
Oh, yeah. And they were legally allowed to do this? That's amazing.
Okay. And your last one. The coming-of-age teen buddy comedy Superbad, now starring Ben Platt. Would that be a heaven or hell?
Hell. No.
Okay, now why is this your reaction?
I was literally talking about this with somebody today. And this is such a controversial opinion. This, a lot of people are going to be like, this is your morally ambiguous story.
Okay, great.
I don't like Ben Platt. Like, I loved Ben Platt in Pitch Perfect. I saw him in The Book of Mormon. He did a stint in that and he was so funny. And then I saw him in Dear Evan Hansen and I've seen him in things since. And I don't know. Something about him just kind of I don't know what it is.
Did you see the movie version of Dear Evan Hansen?
I couldn't. I didn't. I was also one of the few people that really didn't like that musical. Which is also a very controversial opinion, but it was just, I saw it multiple times with different Evans, and he was weirdly my least, I don't know. I could go about this for days and I'm going to get a lot of email. A lot of people, I'm going to walk down the street and someone's going to come up and just slap me.
Okay, well, save it. Find something nice to say about Ben Platt.
I will say, I have met him and I know a lot of people have met him who've worked with him who say he is the loveliest human. And I can attest to that. He is really nice. And I think he is absolutely hysterical. Maybe that's me just wanting him to do more slapstick comedies and less like deep introspective dramas, you know?
All right, well, that was our game. You did such a wonderful job.
Thank you. I've now been canceled, but it's fine.
That was our goal. We wanted to get you on here to cancel you.
Yeah, they're going to be like, he's a musical theater guy who doesn't like Harry Potter or Ben Platt. Get out of here.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Well, Michael, we've come to the portion of the podcast where you have a story in which it might be hard to tell if you were in the right or the wrong that Blair and I will help you decide. So whenever you're ready, launch on in.
When I first moved to New York, when I was like a little baby actor, my friend got me a job at this restaurant called Republic. It was sort of a Union Square staple for like a long time. It's a Thai fusion restaurant. It was there forever. It was this long, narrow restaurant with a lot of, it was communal seating. And it was really packed. And that was my first time ever waiting tables. And I was always overwhelmed. I spent, I think, my entire first shift just like in the bathroom crying. And I never really learned the menu. Let's just say, long story short, I was a really bad waiter.
And I think we got that.
Yeah, long story short. And this restaurant was tough because the turnover was really, really fast. So if you're not a good waiter, this is really not the place for you to cut your teeth. And they were known for their pad thai. And they had beef, chicken, and veggie. And I was running around and I had this one family sit down and I don't remember what they were, but they asked for the, both parents asked for the pad thai and very specifically were like, we need the veggie pad thai. It must be the vegetarian pad thai. And I was like, yeah, of course, but you know, and then I'm whipping around, whatever. And I put their order in wrong and the mother accidentally sent the chicken pad thai and I clocked it as it was put on her table. But I still had like six other things that I needed to do. And I saw her sort of look, but she seemed okay for a second. I was like, okay, well, let me do these and I'll run back and check on them and like swap it out. By the time I got back, she'd eaten half the plate and was like, she was going to town. But because it looked like the veggie pad thai, because the veggie pad thai had sort of like a meat substitute. So it looked similar. Uh-huh. And I was like, uh-oh. And I come over and she was like, this is delicious. This is the best imitation meat I've ever had. And she said it in such a way where she knew. I think she knew it was chicken. And she's like looking at me to be like, confirm that this is seitan. And I was like, yeah, we're known for that here. I know it's really good. We hear that a lot. And she was like, thank you. And I walked away and I was like, I just let a woman eat meat when she wasn't supposed to. And I think she knew. And I don't know. And then, like, I had to get the manager to change the bill because obviously it said chicken pad thai on it. And I was already, like, on thin ice and he almost fired me right there. But I got him to change it and brought it back. But it's always... So it came back and the bill said two vegetarian pad thais and she literally was like licking the plate. She loved it. And I just knew, and I'm pretty sure it was for like religious reasons that they couldn't eat poultry. And so I was just like, this woman's going to go to hell because I let her eat chicken because I didn't want to run over and stop it. And then I was too scared to tell her when she was already eating it.
Wow.
So I let her do that and I let her leave and she ate chicken that day. But I have a lot of friends who are vegetarians who I've said this to and they think I'm an abhorrent human for letting this happen. They were like, the moment that plate went down, I should have run over and told her. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, no, that's wrong. But I also really didn't want to mess up another order.
Sure.
Because I knew I was on thin ice. I was like, this is just, let me just see how this plays out.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I don't know how you feel about this, like letting that go down. And if, I don't know, if she knew it was chicken, I just like to think that when we had that moment, she knew. So it sort of takes some of the guilt off of me.
You thought you were telling her telepathically.
Yeah. And she seemed okay with it.
Okay. Okay.
So that's one, and I've done a lot of bad things in my life, but that one always sort of stuck with me.
Yeah. No,
I think especially because another friend was a waiter there, and she also worked there, and she's a vegetarian, and she was horrified. She was like, Michael, how could you let that happen? You let this poor woman eat meat, and she doesn't eat meat. That's a horrible thing to do to someone.
What did you tell your friend?
Well, I was like, oh my God, I can't believe this happened. That's so crazy. And she was just like, that was a terrible thing to do. And I was like, oh, it was. And I still, like, I think about that all the time. Like, I'll see vegetarian options on menus, and I'm like, wow, I hope this waiter's more competent than me.
Now, are you vegetarian?
No. So, okay. I mean, not that I would care. And I, don't get me wrong, and I lied to people a lot as a waiter there. I once passed off curry duck noodles. Oh, my God. This, real quick, because I was proud of this one. And then you guys can tell me what you think. I had these two girls come in, and I didn't know the menu because I was a bad waiter. I knew one thing. And they were like, what do you recommend? And I was rushing. And I was like, just get the curry duck noodles. They're amazing. And this girl was like, okay. And then I put in the wrong thing. And it was, what came out was beef skewers with angel hair stuff. And then lettuce wraps. You're supposed to make like little lettuce wraps. And I saw her look at it confused. And then like look around because it was nothing like how I described it. Because the actual meal is like thick noodles with big things of duck and like a heavy sauce. Uh-huh.
Right.
And again, she got like halfway through by the time I finally had the nerve to step over. And she was like, this is different. And I was like, oh yeah, sorry. She was like, it tastes like beef. And I was like, it's our marinade. It actually changes the texture of the duck. And it makes it taste more like beef. And she was like, and the noodles. I was like, she was like, where's the curry? And I was like, oh, it's this really like clear curry. It's
clear
like barely
curry.
Even noticeable. It's this clear sauce. And I was like, it's really light. And she was like, yeah, I can't really taste it. And I was like, I know. Isn't that the magic of it? And she finished it. And then they wouldn't change the bill for me that time. And I had to bring the bill over, and I was like, hi, so excuse me. You're going to notice on the bill that it says beef skewers because that's what you ate. That was not the curry duck noodles. But when you come back, and I hope you do, and you have a different waiter, I hope you order the curry duck noodles because I do promise they're delicious. And she just started laughing and then left me a huge tip.
Oh, left you a huge tip.
So that one I don't feel bad about at all because she thought it was funny. And I made money. But the vegetarian one, I do feel bad.
Whoa, I can't believe she left you kind of an extra tip even.
She was like, he's getting fired soon. I better help him out. She
was like, how long did you last at that job? Or how long did you wait tables for?
Like a year and a half. And then I only left because I was moving out of New York. I managed to never get fired because we were pooled house. And my pity tips were so good that I made them, all the other servers, so much money, even though I was by far and away the worst waiter. But I always had the highest tips.
Wait, so you were so bad at your job that people felt bad at you and gave you more money?
They thought I was good. I even had a table call me out on it once with this group of gay guys who used to come in all the time, these old, the sweet older gays. And I used to always say, I was like, it's my first week. And they were like, girl, you said that 3 months ago. I remember you. Then finally, I was like, fine, you caught me. I'm just not good at my job. Again, they thought it was hilarious and left me a huge tip.
Okay, this is a good lesson to learn. Kind of be really bad, but kind of own it. And then maybe people will actually promote you or give you even more money. This is good, Blair.
Well, and the nice thing is, I do hear that this kind of helped with the acting career and even improvising and working on your ability to craft a tale that is so believable that the audience is immersed in the experience.
Mm-hmm. And that's how clear curry was invented.
That's how clear curry was invented. Now, what was like the general price tag on an entree? Do you remember, like, do you know how much the pad thai was?
I think like $16.
Okay.
Because they were real, like, it was a fairly inexpensive, quick place, you know?
Okay.
Like, they didn't have desserts and you were discouraged from ordering any kind of complicated beverage.
Gotcha. Okay.
So.
Because I kind of feel like I've been to this restaurant near my home a lot recently, and it's really, really good, but it's a little upscale. And I feel like recently things have been going on that like the prices are going way up, but there's a lot more mistakes happening. My like math on this is like if I order a $20 cocktail, which to me is one of the higher priced cocktails, I like kind of a 15 to 16. But when I'm getting 20 plus, I'm like, this actually has to be the correct order because like it's so expensive that I'm like, I think, but then I'm like, but if it's like less, I'm like, it's okay if it gets messed up because it's less money. So I'm like, I think if the entrees are that much, I'm going to give some leeway for things getting messed up because it's not like a $50 entree that you're like, well, that was correct. And then you're like, well, dang, that was like a lot of money. You know?
Yeah. Like this never would have flown. Yeah, right. At an expensive restaurant. I think because it was cheap and people also were like get in, get out type mentality. So they were like, oh, our part of the entertainment is that our waiter is an absolute moron. And to be fair, also, the chicken mix-up happened after I'd been there for a long time.
Okay.
Like, that was towards the end of my Republic tenure. I know. That's why, like, I just need to be honest about it.
I left
like a month later. I'd been there for a while.
So would you say you were actually good in the beginning and then progressively got worse? Or were you making constant mistakes?
I was really bad in the beginning and just never improved.
Okay. Mm. Now tell us about your boss.
Oh, my God. Richard. He had this fun little tick where he would lick the side of his face as if there's just like a little bit of food on his cheek and he needed to get it, but he
like
just
a dog?
Couldn't. Yeah, he would like
wow.
Sorry, when do you tell us about your boss? That's the first thing I think of. When he got angry, he would do this little tick, and to be fair, I saw it a lot because he was usually mad at me.
Yeah.
Right.
So in my head he did it all the time, probably not as much as other people. He used to be a model who never quite made it. And then was a bartender there and then worked his way up to being the manager. And he took it very seriously. And he tried to fire me on multiple occasions. But yeah, all the other waiters would get around and rally and be like, no, because he makes us a good amount of money. Like, we will run his drinks. If you let him just be basically the resident buffoon, we will take care of the rest.
And what was his initial response to that?
Yeah, he would just sort of be like, fine. Like,
very feral.
He would angrily let me stay, but he hated me. He literally, I would walk in, I'd be like, good morning. And he'd be like,
wow.
Okay.
Wait, so the other pad thai that was to the husband was correct. That was the vegetable.
Everything else was correct on their order.
Okay, so they were two different pad thais that were sat down at the table, even though they were supposed to be the same.
Yeah, and they looked the same. It was just the one had pieces of chicken in it, and the other one had pieces of, like, baked chicken in it. And to be fair, their pad thai was not, like, the best. Like, I always thought pad thai was supposed to be sort of, like, a solid orange mass. And then I went to another Thai restaurant after, and I was like, oh, no, that's not the case. I wasn't very worldly. So they really did sort of look the same, and they had the sort of same consistency.
Okay.
It's just the chicken one had a lot more, so she probably thought, like, hers just got a lot more of whatever. Or she knew.
Or she knew.
And she was like, please, sir, don't rat me out. Like, that's what I like to think.
How was she as a customer?
Quiet. The husband did basically all the talking. You know, and the kids, like, didn't really talk. Like, they were a very quiet group.
Interesting. Ooh, okay.
Yeah. And the husband, as I recall, did do the ordering for the family.
Annoying.
And what was he like?
He had a white button-down shirt on, as I recall. Okay. Oh, my God. Now I feel like I'm, like, this is interrogation. I was like, yeah, it's like, okay, wait, what were the details? I remember they sat near the front, right behind the hostess station. It was sunny. She was wearing a dark sort of flowy dress. He had a white button-down shirt. But they didn't talk very much. They were one of those families that sort of, like, sat in silence, and he just sort of looked around. Like, he was one of those fathers who didn't smile. Like, nobody really smiled.
Interesting.
I'm also probably subconsciously trying to, like, make my case better as if this man doesn't allow them to eat chicken, and this is all him.
Well, you know what? I'm going to be honest. It is helping, I feel.
Okay, Blair, what are you thinking?
It sounds like this marriage was falling apart, and the wife was not happy. She didn't have a voice, you know? He was, like, one of those guys who's like, I want a traditional wife. And it was, I feel like it's one of those situations where they got married and then, like, what they wanted changed. And so she had to quiet her voice. And he was like, you're going to be a vegetarian. My wife is a vegetarian, right? So she ordered the vegetarian meal. And then you, just being bad at your job, brought the chicken. And so in a way, I think you gave her the freedom to eventually start using her voice to be more vocal and get out of this terrible marriage.
The protein helped her find her strength? I could see this.
Because you said yourself, when you locked eyes, it was almost like she knew, but it didn't bother her. And I think a real vegetarian like your friend would have been like, no, I want my fake meat now.
I like to think that she would have known the difference and she ate it anyway.
So I think you gave her the strength.
Okay. Oh, thank you.
So I'm going to say good behavior.
Wow.
Through no fault of my own.
I have a hard time with this because, you know, I actually don't eat that much meat. I wouldn't say I'm a vegetarian, but I don't eat that much meat. And I have some friends, you'll never believe this, that are vegetarians. So,
but she will tear up a hot dog. Don't get her started on a hot dog.
That's true.
Ooh, yum.
I don't know about that. Anyways, I'm going to think I'm leaning bad. Because here's the thing. You knew. You saw that. You saw it hit the table. You saw it hit the table. In that moment, you could have righted your wrong, but you didn't. And then you had another opportunity when she was like, this is so good. You could have said, I hope you eat chicken, because that is what that is. You know, I don't know. You could have said something there. You didn't. And then you switched the checks. That was your third attempt. You could have come clean. So I worry. I worry because of those kind of instances. And you said she could go to hell. And if that's the truth, we don't know. None of us have kind of gone to the afterlife yet. And that could be the truth. So if she has to go to hell for this, that seems like a big punishment for a little mistake.
That's true.
So unfortunately, because of that, and I guess I'm feeling religious as I have the novel coronavirus, I'm leaning bad.
Your own death feels imminent.
My own death feels imminent. And I've been eating chicken. Not good. So you never know. So I think I'm leaning bad, which means, Blair, I think we have a split today. And so, Michael, when we have a split, we have our guest take a final plea. And so this week, we're going to give you 30 seconds on the timer, and you are going to decide if you want us to lean good or bad. You can decide if you want a reward or if you want to get rid of the guilt you feel and be punished today. You're going to have 30 seconds to try to convince Blair or I if you should be deemed good or bad.
I'm putting 30 seconds on my mobile phone. You may begin. Now.
Oh my God. I mean, I went to Catholic school, so I should just assume that I should be guilty. But no, I'm going to stand by this because did I screw up? Yes. But I really do think she enjoyed it. And I think I'm with you, Blair. I think through my mistake, I accidentally gave this woman a little bit of a gift. Did her husband claim they're vegetarians and they cannot eat meat? Yes. But did she seem to really enjoy that chicken? Yes. So I think through my own incompetence, I gave her a gift and I should stop beating myself up.
Wow. That was beautiful. That was a beautiful last argument. I think even as I'm close to death, you've convinced me and I'll lean good.
Thank you.
So, Michael, you have officially been deemed good behavior.
Oh, thank you. I feel cleansed. I feel ready, as the gays say.
In times like this, when you win such a prestigious award, coming up with the right words to say thank you is really hard. But don't worry, because we got your back. We have prepared your acceptance speech that you will deliver.
Okay, I'll be honest. I saw this coming. That's why I've prepared the following song to celebrate my win. 5, 6, 7, 8. 9, 10, 11, 12. Gray skies are gonna clear up. Put on a happy face. Brush off the clouds and cheer up. Put on a happy face. And I have.
Oh.
Thank you.
Wow.
Beautiful.
And that was our first musical acceptance speech.
It was our first.
I'm honored.
Well, Michael, before we wrap up, can you tell listeners where they can follow you? Any upcoming things to plug?
Great. Oh my God, I have so many things. Well, you can follow me at M. Judson Berry, not Justin, as Catherine thinks.
Not Justin.
M. Judson Berry on all the socials. And the next show that I'm on the producing team of is Othello with Denzel Washington and Jake Gyllenhaal.
Oh my gosh.
So
that's so exciting.
Wow.
Yeah. So if you're listening, you've ever considered investing in a Broadway show, you let me know because we need money. But also come see it when it opens next spring. Oh, and my podcast. And I have a podcast that's starting up again soon called White Noise. It's white but spelled with a Y because why? And we ask questions on it with my friends Ryan Wilder and Chelsea Jacobson. But yeah, White Noise. It's a fun, silly 20-minute podcast. We're quick, I promise.
And that's our show. Thanks so much for listening today.
We absolutely hate to do this. We hate it.
But it would mean the world to us if you can subscribe to the podcast wherever you get podcasts, rate and review.
Follow us at Bad Behavior NYC on Instagram and TikTok. Thanks again for listening.
And remember, whatever your moral status, we are always here to judge.
Bye. Bye.
Do you think that was good?
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.